The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
51551 or ray at rte.ie. Now, as the year crawls to an end, it's time to look back at the highs and lows of 2018. And I'm joined in Studio 10 by Stephanie Preisner. Good afternoon, Stephanie.
Hello.
Fiona Looney. Good afternoon, Fiona.
Good afternoon.
And Shane Hegarty. Good afternoon.
Hi, Ray.
You're all very welcome, and it's great to see you all. Now, we've a number of headings that we're going to go through. We may not get through them all, and we may not get to everybody on each heading, but we will do our best. So does that all make sense?
It does. I'll do my best not to sulk if you don't get to me.
Right, okay. And 51551, ray at rte.ie, if you want to pitch in and give us your highs and lows, heroes, zeros, biggest shock, song of the year, personal moments, anything like that, 51551, ray at rte.ie. So we'll start with the news stories of the year, and seeing as you're to my extreme left, Stephanie Preisner, you can go first.
Well, I was thinking, as I often do, about what reeling in the years is going to look like for this year. And I think definitely at the top of it, it's going to be repeal the eighth, because it's just such a huge thing for us as a country. And coming, like, looking back at where we've been only like 15 years, how far we've progressed, was just the news story that had to be mentioned, I think.
Yes. And it's today, it only happened last night that I went through to Shannon. It's gone to Áras an Uachtaráin to be signed off by Michael D. Higgins. So today, I suppose, is an historic day. And Simon Harris was on the news today. Speaking of reeling in the years, I remember back in March saying that already it was going to be a cracker of a reeling in the years, because you had the weather and you had the rugby and you had all sorts of things. So it's going to be a brilliant one when they finally get to it. What about your news story?
Well, I'm going to go with the weather. You've already mentioned it, because it was extraordinary. And, you know, we kind of... it's funny, Stephanie said to me just there when I came in, she said, you still have your tan. And, you know, we're kind of going, because it was such an amazing summer. But we forget that we had an eight-month winter last year. And by April, when the sun finally came out, I mean, you know, we had such a terrible winter, which obviously came to an end with the beast from the east and the worst snow we've had in... for a lot of people, living memory, brought us all back to, certainly to, in my case, to the year I did my inter-cert and you couldn't go to school for 3 weeks. So we had that, and then we had this extraordinary summer. And I think what made it a story more than any other year was that I think by the end of the summer, everyone was starting to get a little bit uncomfortable and nervous and go, you know what, this is not right. This is not normal. There is something bad happening here. And then obviously we had David Attenborough, you know, telling us what every study has been telling us for a long time, and, you know, throwing out statistics like 50% of the planet's species have been wiped out in the last 30 years. 17 out of the last 20 years have been the hottest on record. And I thought, you know, David Attenborough basically saying, lads, we've got 12 years, and if we do not halve our carbon emissions, it's game over. Mm. So, I mean, my kids, I think the problem is for our generation, because the planet will outlive us, we're very complacent still. But I mean, my kids are terrified. They really are, you know, and like they will all now vote for like the Green Party or for an ecological policy, you know. So it's very scary time.
But human nature is that we want, you know, immediate gratification, the long term, and this is, you know, it is long term enough, like it's 30 or 40 years.
But that's not long term in the history of the planet.
That's our lifetime.
I suppose, you know. I suppose if you're 54 like me, you know, it is, because as you say, we won't be around to witness whatever happens.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah. Leave us here sweating.
You're obviously not very ambitious for your own longevity.
But I know, if I get to 84, I'll be delighted. Kathleen Watkins is 84. I'd be delighted if I get to 84.
There is that sense, isn't there? That things have kind of gone backwards in relation to that this year. I think it's how long do we... Okay, Trump, right, I've said it. How long? 2 minutes to get there. But there is that sense that it's... that all the things we were supposed to do and we've been warned about, we just haven't got round to doing. And
I'm trying to understand why we haven't. That's what I'm trying to understand. I was being a bit
because
there.
Because it takes a bit of self-sacrifice and a bit of like, okay, maybe I'll walk to work. It's like, well, it's raining and I have the car. Sure, I'll just take it today. Mm. And like, maybe we're going to have to like get rid of all of the diesel cars or whatever the situation is. And it's going to take, it's not easy. And it's going to, we've invented these things that make our lives extremely convenient, but at the cost of the world, and we don't really want to give those things up.
Yeah, Shane, do you know the way every little counts and every little matters, and you have to do your thing? But I suppose if we don't see our political leaders, you know, doing the right thing, well, then why would we do the right thing?
But I think there's a, this, because I was thinking about this as well, because one of the things in terms of news stories this year that was so striking, obviously, was homelessness. And I think he can tie in the problems we have with homelessness into other problems that we have in this country in general, in terms of, like, if you drive around Ireland, you will see the amount of shuttered up streets, and you see the closed Garda stations, you see the waiting lists in the hospitals, and you realise that there's a lack of vision from our leaders. There's a lack of a sense of where we're going. And
I don't think there is.
Do you not?
No, like, I think that, you know, we can't be trying to, like, boil the ocean. Do you know what I mean? And, like, there's always going to be things that need improvement. There's always going to be, but they are doing certain things. And if we actually went with the policies and the programs that they are rolling out to help, and we didn't fight them at every turn, maybe there would be progress.
I think we have a tendency to blame our leaders solely for everything.
Yeah.
And there's definitely, even with homelessness, you know, the Airbnb issue and landlords, they're not, you know, they're ordinary people who are finding ways to make money out of a situation that then, you know, makes it worse. Mm. We all know when it comes to climate change, you know, meat has become one of the big things this year. I love a steak. And I find it really hard to believe.
Are you a meat eater, Fiona?
I have given up eating beef.
Have you?
Yeah, I have, because of this. But yeah. I mean,
Stephanie?
It's not going to make any difference.
I don't like red meat.
I
just eat chicken and turkey.
Right.
Fish.
Right.
But I find it very, yeah, I'm kind of increasingly, I know, and I have a good friend of mine who's saying, you know, that's the worst one. Yeah, that's the worst one, is the meat. So, look, I think you're right, Stephanie, to an extent. We do have to listen to the, but I still feel we came out of the recession, or we had the recession. It was an opportunity as a country to sit down and assess where we were going and what we wanted as a society, and it feels like that's gone. And maybe something like the constitutional committees that we had that have led to the referendums, that led to progress. Is that a way we look at it? Is that a way that we get people together and they, instead of asking politicians to figure it out, that we actually kind of come together as a society and try and figure it out? I don't know. But it feels like we haven't
backwards. Because I think the five-year political cycle is fundamentally flawed. Because it's all about 5 years' time, I'm going to have to go knock on doors, get votes, and that's really what's foremost in my mind constantly.
Well, what's the alternative?
I don't know.
Dictatorship.
I don't know. Right, that's a new story. Let's move on swiftly to Heroes of 2018. Heroes of 2018. Fiona.
Catherine Corliss.
Right.
For every reason under the sun, but not least because she went about her work in Tuam quietly. She never wanted to be the story, and she's not the story actually. But she was dogged and relentless, and she kept at it. And the fact now that next year we're going to have this excavation in Tuam, you can take it. This is going to be a huge story in 2019. The Tuam babies. But I do not think we would be having that excavation without Catherine Corliss. No. And I just think she's an amazing woman.
Amazing, fearless, unassuming, and like no ego whatsoever.
None whatsoever. No. Just, you know, wants justice and
for these babies.
And
these
hopefully
poor babies.
We'll
yeah.
get it.
Yeah. Who's your hero, Stephanie?
My hero are the cave divers who saved those kids in Thailand. I thought that was like this really united, concerted effort of like engineering and human generosity of like, okay, no, we can get in this way. And I was following the maps that were like a double page spread in the paper. Yeah. How are they going to get this? It was like a real life version of the Crystal Maze. And it's, I feel like I can be kind of light about it because it ended well, and it could have ended so very bad. But
it did end quite badly for Elon Musk, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. For Elon Musk and also for two of the divers, I think two or maybe one, I can't remember, who actually did die in the attempt. But it was just so nail-biting and then so joyous when the kids got out.
Because they predicted the worst, didn't they?
Oh,
of course. Early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great, yeah.
And we've seen it with other, you know, like those Chilean miners, and these sort of things happen and they don't always end very well.
You hope it works out well for the kids in the long run, because you'd imagine that something like that and the world's attention and all of that, that there's a story, their story doesn't end. Everybody else moves on.
Yeah.
But their story continues.
How many were there in total, children? I should know this.
Well, it was a football team, so there were 15 or 20.
Average, there is going to be one person whose life will take
lives have changed.
Yes,
it'll be interesting to see
where it pans out. What about you, Shane?
The hockey team, who I just thought were incredible in the World Cup this year. I think I'm right in saying it was the first time they qualified for the World Cup. They get to the final. Every time they got to another match. It felt like an achievement. And then they had these extraordinary penalty shootouts.
The goalkeeper was the hero.
They were absolutely brilliant penalty shootouts, far better than soccer. And then to cap it off, I was at the Electric Picnic and I was walking from the tent to into one of the areas and I heard four women saying, "We have to be somewhere where the Irish women's hockey team were doing an event," and some steward was saying, "No, we have to go around." And I said, "Oh, you are there. You are the hockey team." And one of them gave me their medal. And I got to walk down with them and I thought, A, how amazing just to have this amazing thing in my hand. But secondly, how trusting are these people? They've handed it to this complete stranger in the Electric Picnic. But they were, as a team, these are people who'd clearly worked really hard for years without really any recognition. And then suddenly they get this moment that they deserve.
A lot of sporting heroes this year. There was the hockey, obviously, the rugby won the Grand Slam.
Athletes,
a lot of female athletes. Kelly Harrington won a gold medal at the World Championship. So it was a brilliant year.
We were
punching above our weight, literally and metaphorically, which is great. So that's the positives. The negatives then, the zeros.
I'm going to say Peter Casey, mainly because he was the figurehead for a lot of people in what became a farcical presidential election, which is now, count them, our second consecutive farcical presidential election. And I just think, I mean, you know, it's funny, you were just saying about the 5-year democratic cycle. I really think we need to look at how we choose presidents, because this lovely touchy-feely notion that anyone can go before a county council and be nominated for president is obviously ridiculous, and it isn't working. And the very fact that that everyone's votes, apart from obviously our president and Peter Casey's, were, you know, kind of 1%, 2%, 3%. And the reason I'm I suppose picking on Peter Casey is there's undoubtedly a lot of the people who voted for Peter Casey did so because of views that he expressed about travellers, and I just thought it exposed a nasty underbelly of Irish life that is still there, a racism that a lot of people, I think probably most people, feel. And I think it was disappointing that they actually used a presidential election to express it.
Well, I think it actually started a discussion. Like, I think he's extremely problematic, but I think that him saying it, I was actually kind of grateful for, because it's like, look, we say that we're this progressive country and we're great, but look at what he's unearthed. And like, without him saying that, and without people coming in rowing behind him, you can't. You he shed a light on something that we needed to know was
unintentionally.
Not,
exactly, unintentionally. Yes, yes.
But like, you know, it's. There's a silent majority or a silent group of people out there, in the same way in America with Trump, that until you have people who are that sort of, you know, bombastically standing there saying it, those people, their minds are not changing. Yeah. They're just going to vote silently. And so at least,
but as often happens, there was a bit of a conversation at the time, but it hasn't continued. You know, I think we need to continue that conversation without Peter Casey in it. You know, sort of less emotion and more thoughtful, and everybody around the table, that sort of thing. Maybe that'll happen next year. Who was your zero?
So when we were all celebrating Repeal the Eighth, the day that passed...
I was just reminded that not everybody, there are 750,000 people who voted against it, weren't celebrating.
I was just speaking for myself. But on that day, when people were either celebrating or commiserating, whatever side of the spectrum they were on, Morgan Freeman slid under the radar there with a Harvey Weinstein allegation, where I saw a broadcast on CNN where he was accused of being very sexually inappropriate and sexually assaulting some women. And that sort of slid under the radar because over here we were looking at different things.
Were you shocked?
I was, and I just kind of felt like, is there no one you can be like, I really like that American actor and I watched him all the time growing up, you know? You're now like, am I allowed to? I don't, like, obviously it's great for these people to step forward and for us to see people in the cold light of day, but it's like, oh God, not another one. It just felt like, you know, another.
Mm. I was so surprised by him. You know, you wouldn't think it of him. No, I've never met the man.
Yeah, but you're really basing that on...
I know his characters, I know. Sorry.
I feel like he has a trustworthy voice.
Yeah, well,
he narrated that penguin thing. You know,
how could we say
it must be lovely. Yeah.
Shane, before we take a commercial break, you're zero.
I kind of picked that GDPR thing that we all thought was going to be a really good thing for us. Where we go, well, we can now decide what information goes on in the internet about us. This will be great. And now I spend every single day going, yes, I'll accept your cookies. Stop asking me. I don't care. Take whatever you want.
So explain to people what happened. It was European law, and you knew European law.
Yeah. No, you're now asking me to explain.
No.
Well, there was a precedent set, of course, in Strasbourg in 1970. I've no idea. Really? No, what it is there was a ruling that, in terms of data protection,
yes,
and the in terms of what companies could take about your information and use to third parties and all of that. So, and this came up again in terms of Facebook this year, where we realised that there were huge amounts of data going from Facebook. People could find backdoors into it, take millions of pieces of information and sell it on to people to use for political
personal means
and whatever.
Yeah.
And but we find ourselves trapped between, and I'm like this, between being absolutely shocked and scandalised at the idea of all this information going online and people can take this information and use it. And then on the other hand, putting a huge amount of ourselves online.
And what has happened is we click now and say, yes, you can use the information.
Yeah.
So now they have official confirmation that they can use it.
So we find ourselves kind of sort of straddling the two sides. On one hand, shocked and appalled by Facebook, and the other hand, just going, well, I'd like to read that news story, so I'm going to click yes on that. And I don't think we've quite, and in terms of which we haven't even got into the social media thing, but all we put out there versus what we want out there, and then there's the bit in the middle that we don't want to think about exactly what's out there.
Right, so GDPR is your zero. Okay, we're talking to Stephanie Prisoner, Fiona Looney and Shane Hegarty about 2018. We're going to talk to more after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Stephanie Prisoner, Fiona Looney, Shane Hegarty, looking back at 2018. We should have given it an hour, lads. So personal moments, I think, I'd be interested in hearing if you can put them into sort of 20-second chunks.
I got to meet my hero this year. That's my personal moment. I got to meet Gay Byrne, and I always thought that he wasn't quite real, you know, because he was the toy show man when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And then I got to meet him and Kathleen.
And he's just been fangirling his wife out there. Yeah.
Prodding Gay Byrne.
He really wasn't, but like I very rarely get like, you know, stuttering. But he was standing in front of me and he knew my name and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it felt like all my childhood dreams come true. I'm even blushing now.
Yeah, you are actually. Yeah. Shane?
In my job, I get to go to loads of brilliant schools, and I was in a school in Navan a couple of weeks ago called Beaufort College, where I met the most amazing teenagers from all around the world. Some of them very recently arrived in Ireland. And I had that moment where I very occasionally get where I think, do you know what, as adults, we're screwing this planet up. But if we could just trust these young people to do it, because they are brilliant and imaginative and they care about the world and open and open-minded. And yeah, they're just
lovely. Yeah. And finally, we give the final...
I'll tell you again.
The personal moment. No, tell us. No, I want to hear this. I left. I did. You see what I did?
Oh, well, it's pathetic.
At 51.
At 51, I passed my driving test.
Yay!
On the road again.
Stephanie, thank you very much. Happy Christmas. Fiona, happy Christmas to you. And Shane, happy Christmas
happy
to you.
Christmas. Happy Christmas.
We're back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Have a brilliant weekend. Whatever you're doing, do it carefully and enjoy yourselves.
The Ray Darcy Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.